me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the Epistle to the Corinthians, and chapter 13. Corinthians chapter 13, and this well-known chapter beginning at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now we just commit our time to God in prayer. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come and approach unto Thee and acknowledge Thee to be God. And Lord, how thankful we are this evening as a small number of Thy people to be named as Thy children this night. Lord, we thank Thee that we can call Thee Abba Father. And Lord, we thank Thee that as we come and meet around Thy word, we know that Thou art speaking through it to us. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this night. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless us as we consider a few thoughts from these passages this evening. Lord, that Thou would help us to apply it to our hearts and Lord, to believe them and to grow in them. So bless us, Lord, and our time together, and bless us later as we spend a short time in prayer, Lord, that Thou would guide our thoughts then and would help us to glorify Thee in all we do, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the passage I'd like to spend a few moments thinking about is found in John's Gospel and chapter 13. Chapter 13 and the two verses, 34 and 35. For my text tonight, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's upon this verse that much of the Bible is hinged, and an extremely important verse to the New Testament church and to us this day. And the context is in the upper room of the Last Supper, and it is the night before our Saviour's crucifixion. We've pictured this moment oftentimes. The Lord Jesus Christ is aware of what is about to come upon him. He knows which path he should take. And so he speaks to his disciples and commends the last few hours to them and encourages them in her last few things before he leaves them. And this is the time that he first really breaks the news to his disciples that he is in a short while about to leave them. In verse 33 we read, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now say I say to you." The Lord Jesus announces that in a short while he is about to leave them. And up until this point, the disciples had been followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. People knew them because they were the ones who were trotting around after him. But the Lord Jesus is aware that he soon is about to leave them. And so he announces that they will have this new badge in verse 35, that all men will know who they are. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So it's not that they're just going to be following the Lord Jesus around as they have in the past, but this is a new badge, and this is a new method by which men and women and those around them will know that they are the followers of Christ, that they are his disciples, that they have a love for one another. And it's interesting to note the way the Lord Jesus Christ puts this. He calls it a new commandment. Now, what does the Lord mean by this? Is it a new commandment? Well, the Lord Jesus is actually building on that verse in Leviticus 19, verse 18, where it says, "Love thy neighbour as thyself." But he's saying to them that they should no longer love their neighbour just by rote, not just by the letter of the word, but they are to love in spirit. They are to love truly. They are to love fervently. That they are to love with a pure heart. That they are to love as Christ loves them, as Christ loves us. So the question then really is, what is love? It seems a simple question, but it's a lot harder to answer than might first seem on the face of it. Love is a word which is branded around all the time very flippantly in our society today. The society seems to be obsessed with the word love. It's in all of our films, it's in music, the traditional pop music of the day. There are many dating apps giving over to this subject of love and how to find love. TV shows like Love Island, so-called, which purports to connect people in love. And yet, despite this, it seems that we know less about love and are less successful in employing it than ever before. Our society seems to emphasise heavily a romantic kind of love, and in many ways this is a new kind of love. The Greeks had more of a sophisticated view on love. They didn't emphasise purely the romantic side, but more of love in action. They actually had seven different ways of specifying love. They had seven kinds of love, and I'm sure we've heard of those before, but just humour me for sake of putting this into context, and I'll run through them again this evening. Their first kind of love was known as eros, where we get our term erotic, and this refers to sexual passion and desire. This really refers to the feelings that we get within, perhaps when we initially, as the world calls it, fall in love. And this seems to be the type of love which society is striving to find. It's the type of love which seems to be on sale and seems to be rampant in all of media. So that's the first kind of love. The second is known as philia, and that's the friendship or comradely love. This is the kind of love felt perhaps by two men at war. It's that bond of love which two people can feel when they're put under stressful or situation with high strain and tenseness, when people are thrown together. The third kind of love is known as ludos, and that's a flirty, teasing or playful love. The fourth is pragma, where we get our word pragmatism, and that's a mature, cultivated love. The fifth or sixth one is known as storge, and that's a familiar love, similar to what a parent and child may feel. The next one is philautia, or self-love. This can be quite narcissistic often. But the final love, and the love which is referred to here and known to us all, I'm sure, is known as agape love. This is that selfless love, and that love to a stranger perhaps, and that love to close family. It's the love referred to in that chapter we read earlier, that love referred to as charity or love in action. I love the way the Authorized Version refers to it as charity, love in action, more than just feelings. Feelings can come and go, as we know. We can one day feel depressed, the next day we can feel happy. But this is more than just a feeling. The love referred to here is one which we have to put in practice. And this love is unconditional. And at the time of writing, this love was a radical love to the Greeks, because so few people were able to demonstrate this agape love in an environment that was mostly self-centered. So this is a new commandment in verse 34, and the Lord Jesus Christ commands that we, as his followers, as his disciples, are to love one another. And he doesn't just command it and say, get on with it and do your best, but he sets himself up as the supreme example. In verse 34, he says that you love one another as I have loved you. So the question is, how does the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrate his love to us, and how can we emulate his love to us, and how can we put it into practice with our brethren and the Church of God around us? Well, I've got three or four points tonight. Briefly, we'll cover them to describe how the Lord Jesus Christ will demonstrate his love, or does demonstrate his love to us. And the first one is that he demonstrates it unconditionally. He chose us whilst we were still in our sin. We didn't want him. We didn't want anything to do with him. We did not want this man to reign over us. And yet he pulled us out of sin, and he plucked us out of that miry clay and set our feet on a rock. It says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. And yet, despite that, he showed this agape love towards us. And he loves us despite our sins. Peter was soon to deny him. At the end of this chapter, it says, Jesus says to Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And he says, verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And we know the story well, how Peter, who promised that he would love his Lord and follow him even to death, was to deny his Lord. And yet we know that he appeared to him on the beach at Galilee and confirmed his love to Peter. The Old Testament is full of times when the Israelites departed from God, departed from Jehovah, and yet when they returned unto him in repentance, the Lord met with them and the Lord welcomed them in as the prodigal son with open arms. And also King David, who sinned enormously with Bathsheba, was known as the man after God's own heart. In the verses we read earlier, it says that charity suffereth long. And I feel the Lord often suffers long with us as his people. We are often like that dog in Proverbs, which returns to his own vomit. Sometimes we sin and sin and sin again, and yet the Lord is patient with us. I praise the Lord that he does not deal with us as we deal with our fellow believers, but he suffers long and deals with us in patience. The second point is that the Lord demonstrates his love to his people unselfishly. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven above. He didn't need the praise of his people. He enjoyed the praise of myriad of angels from eternity past. But he came from heaven and was born in a manger. He had a lowly beginning. He had a lowly upbringing. He was despised and rejected of men. And he suffered for our sakes. He was humbled for our sakes. Throughout his ministry, he denied himself. Earlier in this chapter, he washes his disciples' feet. And this shows the lowliest of tasks. Our Lord and Saviour was not afraid to stoop to even the lowliest and meanest of tasks. This is an enormous example to us, not to be afraid to stoop. Perhaps this is a picture of washing one another's feet. I don't feel there's cause for that these days, but it's a picture of being willing to take on the meanest and lowliest of tasks for our brethren. The third way the Lord Jesus demonstrates his love to his people is he demonstrates it unashamedly. In that chapter we read earlier, it says that charity thinks no evil. We are pure in his sight. And as the Lord sees us as pure in his sight, as he thinks no evil of us, so we are to think no evil of our brethren unnecessarily. The disciples were often foolish. They were very often fickle. They were very often weak and had a weak faith. He could have often said to them whilst they were following him around, then, why don't you leave this to me and I'll go on ahead, because they often were more of a hindrance, it seemed, than a help. Or perhaps he could never have chosen them at all. And yet it shows the great grace and compassion that the Lord was not ashamed to call his disciples his brethren, despite their oftentimes weakness and failings, and as we see with Peter, again, even his denial of his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, an application briefly. Love is an action, not just a feeling. And so we should, as disciples, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should demonstrate this agape love to one another, that men may know that we're Christ's disciples, that men may look at us and see that there is a difference. And how can we do this? Well, of course, one method of loving one another, of showing this selfless love, is to pray for one another. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I know we often do pray for each other, and our dear sister Barbara is a great example of a prayer for this church. And we must continue to pray for one another and to draw alongside one another in compassion. In the UK, we're not often used to drawing alongside one another. In America, they seem a lot better at getting close to each other and praying for each other and drawing alongside one another. But sometimes I feel perhaps we're worried what one another can think of us, and we're worried about perhaps negative thoughts. But we need, I think, to grow together and to draw alongside one another, and to look for ways and methods of bearing one another's burdens, and methods to know what to pray for. We also need to be more forgiving of one another. Ephesians 4 verse 32, forgiving one another even as Christ Jesus forgave you. The Lord Jesus demonstrated his love towards us in forgiving us for our sins, our great offence against a holy God. Our Saviour paid for our sins. As he says, when asked how many times should we forgive our brother, well, then we should forgive 70 times 7. So we need to have this forgiving attitude towards one another. Another way we can demonstrate this love is to be patient with one another. As I said earlier, the disciples were slow learners, but he showed a lot of patience towards his disciples. And we're to love each other, not expecting to receive in return. Even perhaps outside our close fellowship, we're to love one another. Anyone who names the name of Christ Jesus as their Saviour, we're to love them, even though they might not always be particularly attractive, or we feel particularly able to love them. We are commanded to love one another and to be compassionate and caring and prayerful and patient and forgiving with and towards our brethren. We're also to encourage one another. The Lord Jesus Christ, even chapter 14, says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He spent time encouraging one another of heaven to come. He spent time encouraging them that he was to return again. And we spend a lot of time in this world feeling low and taken up with the things which only discourage us. But we need to pray that we can be more of an encouragement to one another. And also, we are to chasten and expect chastening. As the Lord says, the Lord chastens a father, as a son, sorry, in whom he delighteth. Timothy in chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 gives us instruction on chastening, a difficult subject. I'll read it briefly. 1 Timothy chapter 5, instructions on how to chasten, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. If we see our brethren sinning, then we have a duty to draw alongside them and to chasten them. but to do so with love and humility and with prayerfulness. In conclusion, then, these things are enormously important. It is a command, a clear command to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, even today, that we are to love one another and to demonstrate this love to one another. It's so important that he even repeats it in chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And going back one chapter, chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Do we love the Lord? Well, I think we can all say this evening that we love the Lord. And so do we want to be called his friends? Well, chapter 15, verse 14 says that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. If we keep his commandments, we are the Lord Jesus Christ's friends this night. Surely this is an incentive to be called the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much and gave himself for us. The other incentive in our text tonight is so that all men may know that we are Christ's disciples. And this surely is effective evangelism, to love one another, to love our brethren, to love the unlovely, to love those around us outside of the kingdom. Many successful, inverted commas, missionaries of the past were first caring, compassionate, and loving evangelists. They won people's hearts and minds with their compassion and caringness first. I think it would do us well to be compassionate to those around us and to seek ways where we can draw near at individual levels to people perhaps that we would find difficult to get on with, in order to win them for Christ, to first approach them with compassion and to demonstrate love which perhaps they do not receive from any other avenue, but to demonstrate Christ's love to them because we've had it demonstrated to us. Well, may the Lord bless these few thoughts to us this morning. And before we come to prayer, this evening, we'll sing our final hymn, 398.